NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Hour 3, NFL Sunday, Mutt Keefe. Fourier's off to do some sort of TV hit. I don't know.
Yeah, a little pregame action. Double pregame.
Christian, what do you think about the game?
What do you have?
What do you got?
Back to you guys.
You think they're talking about athletes turn movie stars with Burton over there? No.
Probably not.
Christian, tight ends. Talk about it. That's what they're doing over there.
Tight end position.
He will join us at some point later on this hour, as will next hour, Tommy Kern. Garvin, I should know this for sure, but did Kern make the Nashville trip? Is he there or is he staying here locally? Do we know? We don't know.
We're efforting.
It is apparently all Patriot fans all the time. I got a
text
from a buddy who was on one of these. He booked his flight. So JetBlue has flights direct. And so right when the schedule came out, he booked his flight. And he texted me last night saying, you cannot move 5 feet down Broadway without running into a Patriots fan. And he's suggesting that it's going to sound like a Patriots home game for Titans and Pats.
I wouldn't be surprised. I remember when the schedule came out, hearing about a bunch of people that immediately booked tickets because, you know,
it sold out in a day. The flight sold out immediately.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, this is the one to go to. Because you look at all the NFL cities, especially one that Patriots don't play in that often. This one makes sense. And I guess it's actually going to be kind of chilly down there, but you would have thought it would have been a little bit warmer, a nice little getaway.
Well, all the videos I've seen from people that are there, a lot of on social media and stuff, people are bundled up. It's been cold at night.
It's like
so,
40s and 50s, but I mean, I think, but still.
It is a cool
city, though.
I've only been once. I am dying to go back. I went for a bachelor party, and everything's downtown, a million things to do. Everyone is nice. I'm sure it happens throughout the South, but people are just nicer there in general. If you have not been and I've only gone once, I would suggest you try to go. If you're a guy looking for a guy's trip place to go.
Guy's trip.
Nashville. We went to, I was going to call it college football, but it's really not. Went to Vandy, Georgia. And Vandy,
SEC football.
Aaron Murray quarterbacking Georgia in that one against, I'm not sure who for Vandy. But it is a great city, a great ground. It might have been a great downtown. And so my guess is Pats fans had a good time there. We'll see. Tennessee does not feel like a true contender in the AFC.
No.
The Pittsburgh Steelers do. Watching them, and I'm one of these guys who really gets caught up in what I saw last. Like, I overreact big time to what you just saw. The Steelers look like, to me, the number one contender now in the AFC. Not because of the offense. We know the offense is really good. But all of a sudden, Rich, they're good defensively. And Kansas City has a better offense than Pittsburgh does. But they've not gotten any better. Like, they're getting guys back on defense, and they're not getting any better defensively. They'll give up points today to Arizona and Josh Rosen. You see, they'll give up, 18, 20 points there today. And they're able to blitz and get after the quarterback. We saw them do it to Cam Newton. If they can pressure Cam Newton, Rich, they can pressure Tom Brady in a couple weeks when they play. They could come in here to Gillette and play a competitive game. To me, right now, week 10, the Steelers feel like the most legitimate contender to the Patriots in the conference.
See, I think this is what the Steelers do, and I think they are a good team, but they always struggle against the Patriots. They do. You go back to last year, they ripped off 8 straight wins with a couple of impressive ones along the way before facing the Patriots in week 15, lost that game, then they win their next 2, and then they lose in the playoffs. I just think the Steelers, if you're telling me it's Pittsburgh coming to New England for a playoff game, I give the Steelers zero chance. They don't do anything different. Brady has great games against Pittsburgh all the time. I think the Chiefs are the best team, or the next best team. I think that's the AFC Championship matchup. I even think...
So you don't trust Pittsburgh to win here, but you trust Andy Reid to bring a team in here and beat the Patriots on the road?
Well, why do they have to be on the road? Why do they have to be on the road?
Well, I'm
right now, Kansas City's got the better record.
Sure, they could win, but I would say, and neither one's a great coaching matchup because Mike Tomlin is pretty overrated too. But
yes.
I mean, Andy Reid, I always figure that at some point, late in the third or fourth quarter, he is going to make a coaching blunder. He's going to misplay. He's going to call an early timeout in the third with the play clock winding down. He's going to get his offense, throwing the football when they should be running the clock because he overthrows there in Kansas City. I don't trust Andy Reid any more than I would, say, or trust the Steelers to come in and not win a game.
I think that's probably, you're right, Tomlin and Reid might be a bit of a wash. I think Patrick Mahomes, though, could be the difference maker for Kansas City. It's not Alex Smith anymore. It's not even Donovan McNabb. I think Mahomes could be better or should be better than both of those guys. And that game, there's a chance that game could be in Kansas City. Let's say the Patriots had to go to Pittsburgh. That also doesn't scare me. They've done that before. That's that. If the Patriots are at home in the AFC Championship game, if they're able to get home field advantage, it's going to be dumb to pick against them regardless of yep. who they face. I just think Kansas City, the ability to score as much as they can, all the different weapons and guys that have
Pittsburgh
given them
Pittsburgh just
fits.
Put 50 up on Carolina.
Carolina, yeah, no, I know. But I just think, I still think the trio of Hill, Kelce, Hunt is better than, what, Brown, Schuster, and Connor. Like, what? I know those guys are good, but
wow.
I think it's better.
I would take the Pittsburgh side of that. And I mean, Mahomes is better than Roethlisberger. I mean, I will give you Mahomes, but I think Antonio Brown is if I can pick one
he's
wide receiver,
yeah.
he is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I agree with that.
He makes plays on he makes something out of nothing. He can get by anybody.
So if you're comparing the top three skill guys for each team, I would say Brown is the best, but then the next three I think are all in Kansas City. That's why I think they're better.
Well, Kelce tips it, including Kelce as part of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I am. Kelce, Hunt, and Hill.
See, I think
Hunt, forget about Watkins. Forget about some of the other
I think
guys.
Hunt and Connor are basically a wash right now.
Ooh, maybe. I mean, think they're using
James Connor
very well.
He looks – this is why we talk about Le'Veon Bell last hour with Florio. It's what you know shows you that running back is a position that we just overrate year after year because we grew up, and not just us, but people in the media that cover the league, all grew up in a league that valued the running back. Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas. These are – oh, it's the focal point. No. You can draft a guy in whatever round they drafted him out of Pittsburgh.
Connor
brought
was
him
a
in. Was it
third
or fifth?
No, third.
Okay.
Third.
He looks like Le'Veon Bell. He's putting up Le'Veon Bell numbers. Everyone thought they were screwed, and now no one's batting an eye. Like, the report comes out today. Le'Veon Bell is not going to report. He's going to sit out the entire year.
Right.
I'm not going to downgrade Pittsburgh chances of making a run because they have Connor over Bell. Connor looks like the same guy, Rich.
That was early in the season, but Kansas City did beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. It was week two, so it's early for both. But it's early for both teams, and they did. They outscored them in that game. No, Pittsburgh is solid, but I feel like they kind of fool everybody every year. Like, oh wait, this is the team, and look how talented they are. And even when it was Bell, you would say, hey, Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown, like find a better trio than that. Like, look how good these guys are. But then they underachieve. I know Kansas City, they get that rap too of, hey, here's a great regular season team. Then they get the playoffs. But I know Roethlisberger's won a couple of Super Bowls, but you got to go back forever for one of them, and he was awful in that. He was really young, and he was terrible in that game. I don't think they get as much out of their talent. Like they kind of are in that class. Now, a team I know that you normally like is Houston. I think Houston might be a better team and a tougher challenge the way they're playing right now than Pittsburgh.
See,
was.
Houston's on that list. I just look at what Pittsburgh was able. I was taken aback. Forget the offensive numbers they put up, because Roethlisberger at home is always good. The defensive approach and the ability to get after Cam Newton and make him look really bad. They had come in on a roll. They were
but
getting
hurt.
Nationally, Newton and North Turner were getting all these stories written about the offense there and Christian McCaffrey, and he made a couple plays
McCaffrey
early.
McCaffrey was good. They
but
didn't stop him.
They made Cam Newton look human, and he had been playing so well. They have 31 sacks in the year that is tied for the most in the NFL. It's Minnesota and Pittsburgh. I had no idea until I looked this up yesterday.
Ooh, the Zim Reapers.
They're right there at the top of the league in terms of sacks. They've also forced 10 fumbles. They have 6 picks. And with the other Watt brother there, able to get after the quarterback. And Houston's on that list. You mentioned Houston. I right now would fear, and fear is not the right
fear.
Word.
I fear no man.
I respect.
Oh.
Capital R-E-S-P-E-C-Z.
The Steelers?
Yeah. That's how you spell it?
Yep.
I respect the Steelers' chance to beat the Patriots more than any other team right now in the AFC.
As ahead our of great producer, Ryan.
Kansas City, ahead of Houston, who you mentioned, ahead of the L.A. Chargers, who are on that list somewhere.
Hey. Don't slip on the Chargers.
I put Pittsburgh ahead of them. What did Garvin say?
He told me that Tom Brady, all time against the Steelers, including the playoffs, 11-2.
Okay, how about all time against Andy Reid? Probably owns him, too. He owns everybody.
Well, I don't know. What about Garvin? Andy Reid?
Hold on.
Do that for any team you want to do. Brady owns anybody not named Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, he has good numbers against them,
probably
for sure.
Owns Rex,
but
too.
11-2 is nothing to sneeze at.
Let's go to Danny and Quincy on the Pats and Bill Belichick. Danny, good morning.
Yeah, I want to go back to Malcolm Butler.
Sure.
I mean, you really think, I just can't believe this, you really think Bill Belichick would risk winning a Super Bowl over a perceived vindictive nature Do you really think that?
At some well, I mean, vindictive you, nature, you, yes. I think there was a vindictive nature to his feeling on the attitude of Malcolm Butler. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So vindictiveness. So he would put vindictiveness over winning. That's what you're telling me.
He puts his own ability to value a player in like that.
Well, he
like,
thought
trust.
He could win. He thought
trust.
He could win without.
Yeah.
Him.
He thought no, he could. No, he thought Bartomosi and Rowe
he
and
wasn't
Richards
trying
could
to
win.
Lose.
That's not what I asked. You're saying that the secondary is the most important part. It was the biggest problem too. What about the pass rush, Mike? What about the pass rush?
They didn't have much of a pass rush, but
I
saw missed tackle
none.
After plays that could have been made, Danny, on the field
when,
by guys
the
on the field.
There
were missed tackles all over the place, Danny. They missed a million tackles in that game.
Play to a backup quarterback's potential.
No,
you
make
him.
The tackles
hit
where
him.
The play is made. You make the tackles where
not
they could have. And if they had, they win that game.
That.
When Batum, you could mention it, Danny. You're rating that ahead of what I would rate, which is they had opportunities to make plays in the secondary, roll over the top for a touchdown early, multiple missed tackles in the first half. They didn't make those plays. Those plays, if they're made, they win the freaking game, Danny. That's the reality.
Yeah, okay. And this notion that they could bring him in for tackling, let me tell you something.
Yes.
If you look in the box score and your secondary has a high tackle total, you got problems. Where do you
why? Why is that a bad thing?
Where do you prepare
why is that a bad thing?
Make these tackles, Mike. Where?
Where Bartomosi and Richards
where,
missed them
where,
on
where
third down.
Where making the tackles? 20 yards down the field?
Yeah, man, that, yes, they were allowing those completions to be made, and then on
tell
top of that, were compound, they were
made.
Compounding the
do
issue
you know
by not tackling
yeah, they picked
them.
Picked up a lot of first downs.
The single biggest reason the Giants beat the Patriots in 07 was why? Why? They attacked Brady. You still there?
No, it's because of the curse of the Dolphins, Danny.
Oh,
everyone
okay.
knows that.
Yeah. But why? Because Brady got neutralized in the pocket. That's why.
Yeah, their offensive line got taken advantage of in that game. I would agree.
That's right. And the Foles had pinpoint accuracy in the game before that one against Minnesota. Go back and look at what he did. You give any quarterback time to throw the football, and they're going to pick the secondary apart.
So Malcolm Butler plays in that game.
To cover for seven
Danny, Malcolm Butler plays in that game. They don't win the game? Or they do?
I don't know.
What do you think, Danny? Danny, what do you Danny, what do you think? What do you think, Danny?
You're ignoring
what do you
the
think, Danny?
Yeah. And
no, I'm not ignoring anything. I'm asking you for an answer, and you know, you still have an opinion on it. My opinion is, and maybe it's wrong. I don't care. My opinion is that Butler plays. He makes the plays that Bartomosi and Jordan Richards don't make in that secondary, or he plays for Eric Rowe, doesn't get beat for a touchdown early, and give Foles confidence. To me, that game was lost in the first half, where the Patriots and the pass rush is part of it. Gave Nick Foles and gave Doug Peterson confidence that he could move the ball against that Patriot defense. That set up everything the rest of the way for them.
And by the
set
way, the secondary usually is at the top of tackles. Like, you always have a linebacker lead the team in tackles. At least
of course.
It should.
What am I?
That's
the point.
Guys.
You let the guys catch the ball in front of you, and you make the play after
the
that.
The team right now, this season, Van Noy leads the team in tackles, followed by Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones. So four of the top five guys are all in the secondary. But forget about that. Want the inactives?
We have a huge news in the inactives here.
Yeah.
Here are the guys who will not play. Rob Gronkowski, Shaq Mason, Kenyon Barner, Derek Rivers, Obi, what's his name?
Melifonwu.
Thank you, of UConn That's will not right. play, Keon Crossan, and Matt Tobin. That means, drum roll please, not only is Sonny Michel active.
Yes.
Jacob
Back,
Hollister
baby.
Active.
Big Hollister game? Question mark?
I'm saying yes.
Could be.
I'm about to go reset my entire DraftKings day.
If Malcolm Butler covers them, it's going to be a big game for him.
This is the guy. This is the guy that you and I both
yes, we like him.
Stood on our pedestals.
I know, but now Josh Gordon's here.
Stood
so
on our stood on our Dale Arnold Nesson blocks of wood, and
How
we said
you.
Yes. We I would have to stand on one too, so I'm allowed to say that I've stood on those. Yes, Jacob Hollister. We had this huge pre-show, pre-game week one.
Thought he was going to be good.
Who gets the targets? Edelman's out for 4 weeks.
Yep.
Deion Lewis is gone.
Hollister.
Brandon Cooks is gone. Where do the targets go? We both yelled,
He's
Jacob
in.
Hollister.
He's in there.
Today is the day. The game's in Nashville.
Right.
I like country music.
What does that mean?
They're, the
How's
tight end position sucks in daily fantasy this week. Jacob Hollister, wake.
He went to Wyoming.
Send it in. Send it in.
All right, fine.
How dare you?
It's Josh Gordon. Week.
How dare you play that music of crickets? This is the week for Jacob Hollister. He's a plug and play.
Yeah.
He's a dart throw, but he will set the rest of your lineup up. Jacob Hollister, not only in tournaments, Jacob Hollister in cash. Jacob Hollister's in cash.
Cash leagues. What about your year-long league? You picking him up?
He's going to have one catch for 4 yards.
Yeah, he might. Still more than Dwayne Allen. But yeah, so Gronk's
Jacob
his third game
Hollister
in 4 weeks officially.
Active.
going to be another Ted Karras start. But Sony Michel is back, so maybe Cordell Patterson, the running back. Maybe we're done with that a little bit.
Thoughts and prayers to Kenyon Barner, who stayed here on the roster for 2 weeks. Mm. Lost carries to Cordell Patterson.
Patterson ran the ball hard last week.
He did.
Yeah, he's going to sit this one out.
So there you go. Michelle is obviously pretty.
Yeah, that's big.
That is pretty big for them. Against a defense, I don't know if you can run against Tennessee anyway. But if you wanted the threat of run to set up some play action downfield, you want those double moves against Malcolm Butler, which everyone thinks are so effective.
Yes, they have.
And you want Josh Gordon to go off, as you and many other people are predicting.
Yes, that's going to happen.
Then it would be setting up the play action.
A first round pick for that guy?
He's been all right.
He sucks and he blows.
They're pretty good.
I don't know if does he end up being the lead back again today?
Sony Michel? Yes.
So first and second down for him, James White resorts to trailing shotgun.
Yeah. He'll still catch eight passes probably, James White.
See, I'm downgrading James White.
You're downgrading him?
Aren't you?
No, but he's still
Michel is active.
Catch a bunch of passes. Yeah. But even when Michel was playing, James White was good. James White's been awesome all year. See, like a million touchdowns.
But he's expensive in DraftKings, though.
Oh, okay. All right. In that regard, then maybe sit him down.
617-779-7937, the phone number. So I got Steelers top of my list right now. You still going Chiefs in the AFC?
Chiefs are the best team besides the Patriots in the AFC, yes.
We'll see where you guys rank some of the contenders in the AFC. And we and even Fourier, too. Fourier started the week by saying Tennessee was going to be a potentially tough matchup for the Pats. I think he is now.
He changed his mind.
Yeah, I think we watched the film.
He broke it down. Doesn't feel like this is going to be a real true test for the Pats. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk to Tommy Kern after noon. We'll get you set for Pats and Tennessee at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio WEEI.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mutt, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. More of NFL Sunday right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
How do you feel out there?
Good. Yeah, I feel good. Yeah, sure.
Like 100%?
We don't do percentages around here. It's got some rules.
Okay. Will you be playing this Sunday?
It's up to the coaches. It's the coaches' decision.
You feel like you could go?
I'm trolling.
Rob. Okay.
If coach thinks I can go, I can go.
All right,
that's now a couple of weeks where it's been weird, Gronk. And it's not quite as weird as motocross press conference.
No, that's hard to top.
At Gillette in the offseason. But we had a couple of weeks ago where he sounded very down, and he had that tank top on early in the week and felt, you know, it was good, laughing, got to Friday and had a very dour press conference.
You believe him, by the way?
And then that I don't know what that was yesterday. You know, the guys were laughing, and he sort of, you know, smiled when asked about could he play or not. But
okay. That's weird.
Do I believe him in what sense?
Do you believe him that it was the coach's decision?
No.
Yeah, there's no way, right? I mean, it's him and the trainers, and it's got to be him. Because I think if the incentives were within reach and he hadn't already had to miss a game before, maybe he forces his way onto the field. Because there was another report that, and I forget who had it, if it was a playoff game last week, he's probably out there. So it's not like he is a mess, right? Like he's always kind of hurt. He's always playing through something, it feels like. And for him to not go out there, I don't think it was him saying, hey, coach, I really want to go. I can go. And then Belichick saying no. I would be shocked if that was the case.
No, I think they're trying to manage him. I know Peter King said with you guys that they're you know, a theory that they're trying to keep him healthy for the back half of the year, and that makes sense. The problem with it, and the reason why you can now start to speculate that maybe it is the coaching staff, is that, you know, he, or at least as a frustration there, you can hear it with Gronk, that he's not normal Gronk, whether it's the injury or it's because he knows he's not going to hit the incentives. This is now bothering him, and again, it could be as simple as he's just hurt. And he's annoyed he's hurt, but when your health is tied into what you make, this is what it leads to, right? I mean, by not guaranteeing him this money, by making him sing for his supper, you put him in a spot where people are going to openly question, is he not playing because he doesn't want to play and can't play? Or is it because the coaching staff is holding him out with the thought, A, you want to keep him healthy, and B, hey, we can make sure he doesn't reach some incentives. As dastardly as that sounds, it's an open conversation when a guy's incentives are tied into playing time, correct?
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, but I think
it's a natural conversation.
I mean, and that's why the incentives, again, for a player like this, should just be like if he's out there, you know, because that's always been an issue with him. Now, he is already, because he's out, he's officially out for this afternoon's game. He will have officially missed more games this year than he did all of last year. And that even includes a suspension. So he was really healthy. He played in 14 regular season games and he played in all the playoff games. So that was as healthy of a year as we've seen in a while from Gronk. This year, three of the first, 10 games of the season, he's going to miss. And we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, they got the bye week coming up. So I think the assumption is he'll be ready to go after the bye.
Is it the Jets out of the bye?
I think it's the Jets.
So, I mean, you could conceivably sit him for 3 weeks here and not miss much, because the Jets look an absolute disaster right now.
They're
starting Josh McCown
right
at quarterback this afternoon.
Who might be better than Darnold.
he might be better than Darnold, and to his credit, he's better than the guy he's playing against, Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley
starts a game today.
Barkley.
In the NFL. Yes, right. you didn't wait too many cocktails last night.
He's back.
You didn't get a time machine.
Didn't know where he was.
USC's Matt Barkley is back in our lives today.
He's starting.
Going against Josh McCown.
But it's funny because Tom Brady's dad has said for years that, you know, it's going to end ugly for Tom in New England. And maybe it still will, but it really feels like it's going to end ugly for Gronk. Like a guy who for a while could really do no wrong, with the exception of he would get hurt. Like, he was a guy that would get hurt, and it was just something that you would deal with. Because when he was on the field, he was far and away the best tight end in the league. And now this year, when he's been on the field, he's been good, right? Fine? Like, how would you describe him? Like, he has one touchdown, which for him is so rare.
I think he's been good. I had pushback against guys like Lombardi early in the year. Before it appeared to me, and to anybody, that he was hurt. You know, Mike Lombardi went on his Ringer podcast and said, yeah, he was comparing it to the explosiveness of Aaron Hernandez and back in the day.
Yeah,
and
no, I agree. That was dumb.
I thought that was stupid, but since he's been hurt, he's looked like a guy, you know, dragging his back around out there when he's been active the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's because we just now know it. Maybe I'm biased because we know the injury, but he is not. When he's played recently, he's not looked great. Before that,
no. He
looked like Gronk. He made that ridiculous catch in primetime a couple of weeks ago. Big third down plays. Yes, the touchdowns have not been there, but they've also done a lot of James White work down in the red zone. He's become a bigger factor for them.
And they haven't even thrown to Gronk. He's had two red zone targets, and only one of those is inside the 10. So he's really been a non-factor down there. This is his lowest yards per game since his rookie year. But even in his rookie year, he ended the season with 10 touchdowns. So he wasn't a big yards guy then, but he was very reliable in the, you know, goal line red zone area. Has not really been the case this year. Now, don't get it confused. Like, you want him out there. He still is really good. He's a threat. And even when he's not making a lot of plays, there's two, three guys on him a lot of times.
Yeah.
So you
he draws coverage, yeah.
And he always does.
And he's also a great blocker.
He is. Yes.
So he's still helping the team win.
Oh, of course.
But the issue now is becoming, Volan wrote about this on Wednesday, and he's right. We are now at a point where I don't think they have to have Rob Gronkowski to win big, important games. I don't think that, because the way the offense is set up now, number one, with Edelman becoming a focal point, James White emerging, Josh Gordon becoming that legit number one threat on the outside. So the offense is different. And two, we now have a history here, Rich. We have multiple games.
Well, they won a Super Bowl without him.
Exactly. Not one singular game where, boy, they won that one game without Gronk. They won a million big games. The record, they're averaging 30 points per game
the
last season without Gronk. He's a luxury item. And so, to me, if you're ranking the importance, I think it's become clear that Julian Edelman has gone ahead of Gronkowski in terms of the importance to this offense. I think if you had to pick as a Patriots fan now, which guy I could live without in a big game, it is Gronk over Edelman, and I didn't think that even a year ago.
No,
I didn't think that was the case.
I think what we've seen over the last two Super Bowl wins is that you can win the whole thing without one of them, but if you lose both of them, you're screwed. Right, like that's the way the offense kind of is set up. So if you told me that Gronk was 100% healthy and he was out there and Edelman wasn't, I'd say, all right, not ideal, but you can still find a way to win. Not if they're both out. Like, they're just too important. The other guys are fine, but they're so reliant on the attention that those two guys get. And so it's pretty staggering. You know, the number of games that both guys have been on the field together is not nearly as many as you would hope, right? Like, there's just, whether it's, you know, the suspension at the beginning of the year or all the injuries that both have had, the lost season for Edelman a year ago, they haven't overlapped a whole lot. When they're both out there, I mean, they're just about unbeatable. And then when you have one out there, they still do have an advantage.
Here's what's crazy. The people that, you know, were defending the Patriots all these years for not paying Gronk the big money. They kept pointing to injuries and the injury history, and you missed all the games. Like, this is now, you know, Ryan just said it, 29 games he's missed for the Patriots. So he's missed a big chunk of games.
And it's almost two
in his
full
career.
Seasons, yeah.
So people pointed to, well, and I would hammer them, make him the highest paid guy. He's earned it. Best tight end in NFL history. Why don't you pay him? And they point to the injuries. This is the great example of that. This is the great payoff, because last year, Rob Gronkowski played every game, was super healthy, loved his season, the physical part of it, loved TB12, wanted to sit down with the Providence Journal and talk about it, bent over and touched his toes in the locker room to
I
show
feel super, super pliable.
Tommy Curran how sure pliable he was. Like, he was telling everybody, yelling from the mountaintops, I feel great, best I felt. In fact, to go back to last training camp, the reports were he had issues with the team, and the issues ended up being it was him and the training staff. The training staff wanted to work out a certain way. He wanted to go TB12 Guerrero, and they were at odds. A year later, this guy can't get on the field, and it's the back that's popped up. It's the ankle that's bothered him. And so all those people that said it's an injury thing, you can't commit long-term, Rich, they're being proven right now with this scenario, because he was as healthy as anybody a year ago. Now he can't get on the field in three of the last four.
And that's what's going to be so frustrating for him, and even more so than the incentives, is just that maybe he thought there was a change. Maybe he said, you know what, I'm doing different things. I'm not doing power squats and hang cleans and all this. I'm doing things differently. My body feels better. I'm healthier week to week, and maybe I have a few more years in my career. And then he shows up this year, and already with the back, you know, the ankle we've heard is not great either. And he's like, not even halfway through the year, dealing with two injuries.
And all the money's tied into going out there and playing, getting these touchdowns and games played and catches, net yardage he's never going to get.
I don't want to talk about it.
And so it's a twofold story. It's a story of this year, and does he come back, and what's his impact on the team? You mentioned it off the air, and you're right. It's the bigger picture thing, which is now front and center. He is scheduled to make $9 million guaranteed a year from now. The Patriots can save $10 million against the cap. If they cut him before June 1st, they have to pay Trent Brown. There's other contracts that have to get done. There are going to be holes to fill, obviously, in the offseason. Rob Gronkowski, as we've seen him this year, is not a $9 million guarantee.
No, and they already tried to trade him. They already tried
that too,
it. And so other teams might look at it and say, hey, well, he's Gronk, and when he's out there, he's our guy. That's not how Belichick's going to look at it. He's like, how do I best, you know, prepare for next season, you know, salary cap wise, players, everything, you know, what value does Gronk have at that price if you can't guarantee that he's injured or if he's healthy and you don't know if he's starting to check out also? Like, that's the other problem, is if he starts talking about retirement, that's got to be on their minds as well.
Well, we don't know.
In the next couple weeks, Gronk is gone.
And he almost was, we found out. The excellent job by Ken Laird. The pride factor of the Gronkowski family, which, you know, we talked to Florio earlier this show. If you missed it, he suggested that if the Pats had won the Super Bowl a year ago, that Gronk would have retired, would have walked off into the sunset. So retirement is always there. We know they are very sensitive about how they're perceived. We know that there are a lot of opinions in the Gronk fans.
Oh, they'll issue a joint statement.
They're going to have some opinions about the team, Rich, going to them and saying, Jimmy Graham makes like $2 million guaranteed. You make $9 million next year. We're going to have to adjust this contract.
What if they went up to him and said, like, what's worse?
They said, yo soy fiesta.
Hey, take a pay cut or get cut. And then you might say, all right, I'm just going to retire. Like, if he really wants to play with Brady, which I believe that part of it, I absolutely believe that, because otherwise he could be playing for Matt Stafford right now and maybe have a few more million dollars.
Because the report was Patricia wanted to give him a new deal and he wouldn't even take his call
in the offseason. That's why money is important, as it is to everybody, but it's clearly not the be-all, end-all, or Gronk wouldn't be here right now.
Boy, that will be the ball is going to be in his court, because they're going to ask him to do something, whether
it's a pay cut, whether they
could trade. I mean, if they decide... If some team decided that they want to trade for Gronk and and they offered him a decent pick at this point, aren't they trading him instead of redoing his deal? I mean,
you know what's crazy is we never really got that end of the story, right? We just knew that Gronk didn't return the
return on value for the trade.
We don't know what they would have gotten.
And it happened.
My guess is another second round pick, because that's their favorite. That's what they would do. Maybe two twos. I don't know.
Maybe
what
a high second round
pick.
Basically a first round pick anyway.
That is not terrible value for 30-year-old Gronk at this point.
Maybe not.
He's the best tight end of all time.
Yes.
If you read, before the season, you'd be flabbergasted. if they only got a second round pick for him. But based on this year, the first and nine and now heading into week 10.
I know.
If after the year they trade him for a second round pick in the top half of the second round, would you really, you know, would you be on the air next day railing against the team?
No, because I think they might cut him anyway. So if they get a second round pick for a guy they might cut, great.
I would tell you, for me, from a team building Belichick angle of this, they've left themselves really, really vulnerable at that spot. You know, for a lot of years, they had a second tight end, kind of like a co-tight end, Martellus Bennett being the most recent and most successful. Here's guys can play for Gronk when he's hurt. Here's a receiving tight end that can fill the void, and he was great.
In order for Phoenix to be reborn,
great with Brady.
Turn to ashes.
I mean, now they have Dwayne Allen and Jacob Hollister, who's barely active today for the first time ever.
Think about last week that it was just Dwayne Allen active in a position that has been so important. Now, they didn't always hit on it, but before they even got Gronk and Aaron Hernandez in that tandem, think about all the guys like David Thomas and Garrett Mills. Obviously, Ben Watson and Dan Graham were both first-round picks. Yep. Like, they really wanted to have multiple tight ends that could do everything and guys that they could throw to. And last week, you basically just had a third offensive tackle. It was like the only that's what Dwayne Allen's become. And so you wonder if everybody said, hey, you got to draft the next quarterback. You wonder if next year, if now all of a sudden you take a look at who are the best tight ends in college football.
Let's go look at the draft chart. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Todd McShay will join us in the fifth and final hour of the show. Tommy Kern will join us next hour here on NFL Sunday.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do you think there's a chance we could be watching the last season of Rob Gronkowski?
I think there's a chance. I think the impression that he's always given is that he's going to be like Ditka and he's going to leave every last drop on the field. But I really don't sense that that's the case. I saw Drew Rosenhaus this offseason, saw him at the scouting combine, actually, and we just had a very brief discussion about Gronkowski. And I've always got the impression that Gronk is going to do some other things in life and want to do some other things in life. Not that he doesn't love playing football, but he also doesn't want to get ruined by football physically.
Peter King with you guys earlier in the week. It is NFL Sunday, Mutt Keefe and Fourier, Sports Radio WEEI. Yeah, we will see. This is now going to open it up. It's a bye week looming, so you know the games take a backseat. You end up talking about storylines more than anything else when the team is not playing. And it feels like now, Rich, with them not being active today, taking a look at the salary for next year, hearing him on Friday, this becomes a big bye week topic for Sports Talk Radio, the future of Gronk here in New England.
Yeah, you wonder if he can just, you know, return after the bye next week. Can he put together a final, whatever it is, six games and a playoff run and then assess it from there? Like, can they get one more good year out of him, and specifically the playoffs? Like, that's where for this team it matters the most. Can he be a part of another Super Bowl run? And whether he does or doesn't, it feels like the team is going to make a decision at the end of this year. Maybe he'll make it for him. Maybe he'll just say, you know what, I thought about it before, and now 9 years in the NFL, pretty good, collected a lot of money, I'm moving on to other things. Or does he try to come back for next year, and then the Patriots have to step in and say, you know what, we might be paying you too much.
Well, this year they can take their time with him, because they're going to be one of the top four seeds in the AFC. They have a really good shot, you know, based on the schedules and the way they play out down the stretch, to be the number one seed in the AFC, at worst the number two seed, and there is no threat in the division. We joked about this earlier, but Jets and Bills play at 1 o'clock today.
What a matchup.
We thought it was going to be at one point Sam Darnold against Josh Allen,
two rookie
quarterbacks. The future of the AFC East would be worth tuning into Red Zone between Patriots commercials today to get an idea for what the two rookies look like. Instead, this is insane. Josh McCown for the Jets, mm-hmm. Matt Barkley for the Buffalo Bills.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
No, so the Buffalo
not
Bills,
not Derek
by the
Anderson,
way.
Not, who's the other guy? Nathan Peterman. Matt freaking Barkley starts today.
You know what drives me nuts about the Bills? And I shouldn't
what
care.
What grinds
like,
your
gears? It doesn't matter. So they started the year, they had A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron was on their team, who I think is one of the better backups in the league, right? There's not a ton of great backups, but he is,
sure,
I think, one of them, and at least worth a shot. They knew that Josh Allen wasn't ready to go to start the year, so they started Nathan Peterman, who's the worst quarterback, maybe statistically, of all time in the NFL. And Nathan Peterman started week one, the first half, and was benched for Josh Allen, who they even admitted wasn't ready to go. So then they turned the keys over to Josh Allen. He gets hurt. And now it's to Nathan Peterman. Then they have to bring Derek Anderson like out of half retirement. And now it's Matt Barkley. So this is all on them. They could have had A.J. McCarron start all season long. He was on the roster. So I don't get what they're doing. And then with the Jets, Sam Darnold was the guy week one. He looked great week one. And then the next 7 or 8 weeks happened. His team is bad around him. There's no doubt. Bad offensive line. No real playmakers there. But now it's to Josh McCown, who's got to be like 40 years old. So they're an absolute mess, both of those teams. Somebody on Twitter, I forget who it was, he had a really good tweet earlier this week. Saying,
so it's at somebody on Twitter.
Correct.
That's the account, yeah.
Good. Yes. Josh Allen, 21 years old, or 22 years old, hurt, not playing for the Bills. Sam Darnold, 21 years old, hurt, not playing for the Jets. Ryan Tannehill, like 30 years old, hurt, not playing for the Dolphins. Tom Brady, 41 years old, hasn't missed a snap. Like, I just missed a game anyway. It keeps going out there. It just really speaks to his durability because you look at the quarterback position now, it's as safe as it's ever been. Like, all the penalties, you can't hit the guy here, here, or here. You can't land on him, all this stuff. And yet you still see quarterbacks, guys in their 20s, going down and not being able to play 16 games. The guy they're facing today, Marcus Mariota, young guy. He's already missed a couple of games, or he missed one full game this year. I think he missed another half a game. Tom Brady keeps playing. Like, it's so insane that this guy doesn't miss any time and he continues to play at a high level.
And McCown by far is the best of that group. The other quarterback starting, not named Brady, it's sad to say that, yeah. But McCown's better than Darnold. If the Jets had any offensive talent today, you know, they would, you know, they'll probably beat Buffalo anyway. But McCown with the Robbie Anderson and this full cast of characters wouldn't be terrible there in New York. But in that matchup today, Osweiler, McCown, and Matt Barkley, your three starting quarterbacks in the division. Welcome to Week 10 in the AFC East. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Final hour, NFL Sunday. We'll come back. Christian Fourier, we think, will rejoin us from Foxborough. All right. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, get you set for Pats and Titans just less than an hour from now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.